This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of March the 2nd, 2015, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Diane Wild.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like to ask you to put your television on mute for episode 177 of TVA, the podcast. Well, Diane, Greg and I met in person, and I met you in person. Now you two need to, like, drive and, like, meet in Saskatchewan somewhere.
I know. The triangle must be completed.
Yes.
Yes. Well,
it's weird that you've met Greg before I have.
I know.
Well, he and I are in the same time zone.
Well, I know, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I know.
You're my website partner, and I haven't met you.
Well, you refuse to fly here. You just want to go everywhere that's hot.
Yeah, I can't imagine why I didn't want to fly to Toronto in February.
I know. I should really be flying to Vancouver, because one of my friends on Facebook posted a picture of some cherry blossoms that are blooming. So
yeah, I just went on a hike on the weekend and it was gorgeous. But yeah, I will eventually come to Toronto. And by eventually, I'm hoping this year sometime.
Well, I'm hoping maybe I can get on the set of Continuum. So if that ends up happening, then I will end up coming out and seeing you. So either way, it's going to happen this year, Diane.
It's going to happen.
It will happen this year.
It must happen.
So Greg and I did a panel at PodCamp Toronto.
Mm-hmm. How did that go, guys?
It went well. It was near the end of the day. Originally they because you have no power over the scheduling. You used to have power over scheduling. You could pick your time. It was like a wiki page, and you could pick where you wanted to go. But they originally put us on the Sunday, and the Sunday didn't work because Emily couldn't make it on the Sunday. So I said, if you can put us on anywhere on the Saturday, please put us on Saturday. And they put us at 4:00, which is a bit late in the day to get the big crowds. But still.
Yeah, it was a smaller crowd. And like you had kind of said, it was a computer lab. So there were some people that were hiding behind the IMAX screens. But it was a good crowd. Like, they asked questions and they were very inquisitive. So I thought, I took that as a good sign, and had some people come up and ask some questions afterwards. So it seemed to go very well.
I followed along
on Twitter, which was kind of cool.
There were
people sort of recapping what you guys were saying on Twitter, and I was
we were being live tweeted.
You were.
Wow.
You were being live read too.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good time, and we all got to sit up there, and we just had a chat, and I had my slide ready.
Yeah.
Your slide.
I had one slide.
Whoa. What did your one slide say?
It was the name of the talk and the three of us up at the front. That was it.
Anthony was excited because he was using his phone for the slide presentation.
Yes, I was very excited.
For the one slide presentation.
Yeah, well, he had to try out.
Yeah, I did actually use it earlier in the day for the multiple slide presentation as well, you know, off my phone. So when you go to the next slide, you just swipe sideways. I really dug it. I'm quite happy with that, but that's a different issue altogether. We do have a bunch to talk about this week, including a big Canadian event that happened last night as we're recording here, what I'm going to call the Screenies, but nobody else seems to want to.
It's funny. I think it's Bill Brio was calling it the Needies today, because it's all about how needy the industry is.
And we'll probably talk a bit about that. But before we get there, it is time, folks, for a beverage update.
And we're already there? Oh my God, I'm so unprepared.
I know. So, Diane, 4 or 5 beverages this week?
I actually have 4.
Does that count the yogurt or no?
It does not count the yogurt, which I've actually finished already. And while it was in liquid form, I was eating it with a spoon, so I don't count that as a beverage. I have 4, but they're in sort of various states of having been drunk already, so that's why there's 4.
Oh, this is going to be a fun episode.
And 2 of them may have a little bit of alcohol in them. So one is a hot chocolate that has some Baileys in it. That one's almost gone.
And sorry. Not just regular hot chocolate? No fancy hot chocolate?
Yeah, I've talked about this one before. It's the Camino, I think, hot chocolate. Like, I think it's a kind of a higher end one, but I didn't get the special one that had like spices and stuff.
Don't
in
sell
it.
Your hot chocolate short, Diane Wild.
It's artisanal hot chocolate. That's what you want to hear, isn't it?
It's not what I want to hear. It's what I need to hear.
Okay. It's artisanal hot chocolate with it's actually off-brand Bailey's, but you know.
Wow. So we balanced the drink out. It's artisanal hot chocolate with off-brand Bailey's.
Is it that Carolina stuff?
Yes, or Carolyn's or something like that.
It's Bailey's spelled exactly. B-A-L-E-Y-S.
It's like $2 cheaper, and I'm all about the cheaper.
Yeah.
And then I have a rooibos, which is Alpine Punch, and I actually brought the little container.
Tastes like pine needles.
No, I brought it so that I could figure out what was in it, because I had no idea. It kind of tastes like almonds and coconut, and that is what it is. It's coconut, apple, cinnamon, ginger, cardamom, black pepper, rose blossoms, almond, natural and artificial almond cream flavoring.
Where the hell am I?
So that's my Alpine Punch rooibos. And then I have a strawberry.
What's Alpine about any of that? None of that stuff is Alpine.
I think you might be demanding a little too much honesty in your David's tea descriptions there. And then I have a cider, which is a, what is it? Strawberry rhubarb cider. And then I just have like a sparkling water that's berry flavored. Made with my SodaStream, of course.
Greg, I don't know what you're drinking, but we both lose.
I'm the big loser this week because all I have got is Toronto tap water that has been run through Brita's new fangled formula Brita filter that is virtually dust free and the water goes through a lot more quickly than it used to. That's all.
So the charcoal is made from what burnt tree?
It must be bigger chunks from the Alpine.
There you go. It's an Alpine filtered.
That's right. Yeah, no, I went boring this week because I wanted my wits about me when we started to rant about some of the topics today. So I didn't want to be under the influence of alcohol and spouting things and maybe getting an X-rated rating on the podcast.
Well, and like, the only way I could talk about the screenies was if I had a couple of alcohol
beverages
in me.
Right.
So you'll be happy to know that I do not have a Diet Coke with me this week.
You're drinking your new booze, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I have a caffeine-free Diet Coke with me this week.
How is that better?
It helps me go to sleep quicker. Because I couldn't talk about the screenies and stay awake. It's better than the drink that I had this morning while doing a recording with Jonathan Torrens for an upcoming TVABC's podcast. My drink this morning, and spoiler alert, was leftover Tim Hortons hot chocolate from last night.
Oh.
Ew.
Oh.
No, that's wrong.
Called cold chocolate.
With a cigarette butt in the bottom of it.
I will say, though, that I picked up a new bourbon over the weekend. I'm not drinking it now. But it is in limited supply in Ontario liquor stores. It's Black Saddle Bourbon.
Yeah, I saw the post, and I was wondering, when do you drink your bourbons? Because it's never on this podcast.
He never drinks it. He just stares at it.
We drank quite a bit on the nights of PodCamp there, myself and several of my compatriots. We got rather sloshed on the Saturday night.
Oh. Excellent.
Yes, indeed. So I believe it's that time, folks. For fair and balanced journalism, what was right about the screenies last night, Diane Wild?
Well, quite honestly, I didn't watch the broadcast, and we'll get into that later. But quite honestly, I think the winners were fine. Like, I don't have any major problems with who won.
Do we want to start with like just mentioning a couple of the winners and you know.
Yeah.
Get like that Orphan out of Black. The way.
So Orphan Black won for best drama, and you could argue that 19-2 deserves it more. I can't argue that because I'm not caught up with 19-2, so I don't actually, you know, I was saying Orphan Black for the win. Call Me Fitz won for best comedy. So that, of course, made me happy. That's their last kick at the can. So I'm glad that they got that.
Because they finished shooting like a year and a half ago or something like that, didn't they?
Well, something like that, yeah. Joanna Cassidy from Call Me Fitz won best actress in a comedy. I'm going to forget some of these. Jared Kiso won for 19-2, and I think that was well-deserved.
Right.
Tatiana Maslany, of course, for Orphan Black. I mean, I think everyone expected that. Who is male in a comedy? Oh, Don McKellar. Which right. I was again happy about that. That was for Sensitive Skin. So yeah, I mean, I don't have any problems with the actual winners.
No, and you know, we had everybody that contributes to the website. We had done this, you know, who should win and who will win. And Don McKellar was the only one that kind of threw everybody for a loop. Chris Jankelowitz and I both thought that he should win, but we figured it was probably going to be Jerry D that was going to take it. And then Joanna Cassidy was a bit of a wild card too, because we all wanted her to win. But I think most of you thought that Andrea Martin was probably going to take it. So those were the only two that there was a little bit of waffling on. But other than that, I would concur. I would say that everything, I was happy with who won. I don't think that anybody, you know, was more deserved over somebody else. And the other positive that I would say is that I, from a broadcast point of view, I thought that Andrea Martin did a great job. And from a personal point of view, I really learned a lot about the Canadian film industry. And I had kind of mentioned this to Diane earlier today. I almost feel as though somebody needs to be doing a website that champions Canadian film, because I didn't really know anything about Mommy, and I didn't really know anything about Maps to the Stars. I certainly knew a lot about Pompeii, but this has made me want to go out and check out those other two movies. Simply because I was in a room with people that were very excited about Canadian film, and I focus so much on Canadian TV, it was fun to see these folks geeking out over people that I didn't know,
right.
and them not geeking out over people that I was geeking out about.
And I would highly recommend First Weekend Club as a Canadian film resource. It's not the same kind of site as TVA is. It's more event-focused. It's about getting people into the theaters when there is a Canadian movie for that first weekend. Because if not enough butts are in those seats for the first weekend, it's not going to get a second weekend. So that's what they focus on. And they have events. And they have sort of online resources and that kind of thing. So First Weekend Club, if you're interested in supporting Canadian film a bit more. But yeah, I mean... One of my beefs about the broadcast, which I didn't see, is now that they've combined film and TV, the ratings have gone down for one thing, because Canadian film suffers from even more of a promotional problem than Canadian TV does. But also, some of the Canadian TV awards that people would most be interested in seeing aren't broadcast, because they have to, of course, have some time for the film awards, too. So when it was the Geminis and the Genies, you know, they probably devoted a bit more time to some of these awards. And something like Rick Mercer won in one of the gala nights rather than at the broadcast. And a CBC audience would have loved to see him pick up his award. So, you know, there's some issues with that too, but I'm not going to make that a big cause that I care that much about, because I think they probably had their reasons for combining the awards. I suspect money right. is a big part of it.
So, I mean, I didn't watch the awards, but I don't watch any awards, so I don't feel particularly bad at not watching the Canadian Screen Awards, because as soon as you have the word awards at the end of it, I'm not watching it, plain and simple.
But here's the thing. I run a Canadian TV website. I co-run it. I started a Canadian TV website. I love awards, and I didn't watch. Why didn't I watch? Because I knew the winners 3 hours before the stupid thing started in Vancouver. It didn't air live except for in Atlantic Canada, and they aired it at 8 o'clock local time everywhere. So even in Toronto, it was a one-hour tape delay. They sent out the press release with the winners halfway through the TV broadcast in Toronto. Like, it was all over Twitter before the thing even started. Yeah. So it's ludicrous. I mean, we just had the Oscars last week, and people were, you know, it's a communal experience. That's why you have a live event. And that's something that TV can do, is to give us live events where you have to watch live, otherwise you miss out. And yet, you know, we have our own sort of homegrown award show, and they can't do that. And there's nothing crucial on their schedule that meant they couldn't do that. The awards aren't highly rated, so it's not like not having it in prime time is going to be such a hit. I actually, like, not having it in prime time isn't going to make them take a hit on the ratings. I think it would actually improve things, get people excited. The Canadian TV industry started this hashtag called Glush, that they, every awards show, they go on with this hashtag Glush, and they talk about the awards together, and they do drinking games, and they can't do it for this one. And they're the prime audience for this one, because there is no communal experience. As soon as you hit Twitter, you know who all the winners are.
No, yeah, and I mean, I was in the media room, and we were told to hashtag spoiler alert if we were going to be posting anything ahead of the broadcast, and I think I posted maybe a grand total of 2 tweets with the spoiler alert tag, and then I said, forget about it, because as Diane had pointed out to me in an email, everybody was already tweeting about it. Nobody was using the spoiler alert tag, and you might as well just go for it, and I don't apologize. There were some people that were criticizing us for tweeting, but why not tweet? I mean, it would have looked dumb for me to be sitting in that media room with all these people coming through and not be saying anything on social media about it. And I refuse to apologize for that. I mean, you know, the people that have been arguing about this, and Diane is one of them, are absolutely right. It's ludicrous not to be broadcasting this live at 8 o'clock across the country so that people can watch it live, because people will be online tweeting along with it, which is the whole point of it. And I would also say, let's get the red carpet going. They had a red carpet there yesterday. They had the stars all coming in. Get that on TV, too. Get that on from 7 until 8 o'clock. Who doesn't want to see Canadian stars? I mean, if we're proud of this industry and the film and TV industry, then let's get some cameras on these people that are on their way in and talk about the projects and get them to talk about the projects so that I just repeated myself and I'm only drinking water.
So should they talk about the projects?
They should talk about the projects. Edit that out.
Projects.
Edit that out. So that it's there. I mean, if we're talking about the star system, that's worth talking about. So let's get them on the screen and in front of people. I was watching this. They had a fan expo on Saturday at the Eaton Center, and I was watching the live stream of that, and it was packed for these people to get their photos taken with the stars of all these Canadian shows. They had to turn people away, it looked like. So, you know, there's an audience there, so why be ashamed? Get it out there. And it's just stupid to be time delaying anything.
And it's not like, I mean, it was never going to get Oscar-like ratings, but this is...
No.
Canadian TV awards on CBC.
Yep.
This should be their bread and butter. And what's even more ludicrous is they didn't have a live stream of anything. They tape delayed their online stream. So it was tied to the Eastern time zone broadcast. So the online stream was an hour later than the live event. You have people in the ceremony who are winning and being nominated tweeting. Like, the spoiler alert thing was ridiculous, because in 140 characters, if you have read spoiler alert, you have read the name of the winner.
Yeah.
You can't, your eyes don't focus that narrowly. Like, if you're scrolling down your Twitter stream and you see spoiler alert, you can't think, oh no, I'm not going to read the rest of that, you know, 100 characters.
Well,
now,
if you set your font size to a 800 point font on your screen, then you might be okay.
Yeah, but I mean, and it's not a solution. Like, if you care about the spoiler alerts, then air the damn thing live.
They obviously, at some point, someone made the decision that they just honestly don't care.
No, I think they're just behind the times. I think.
Oh, no, I don't think that's it. I find it hard to believe that this many years into a live television universe that they're behind the times. I think it's
Canadian TV. They have said that they value prime time over live. That's their explanation,
right?
Is they want it to air in prime time everywhere. And whereas if it was at 8 o'clock in, well, okay, at 7 o'clock in Toronto, it would have been 4 o'clock in Vancouver. And they don't think that people in Vancouver are going to watch it at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. Well, I would say, if you don't think that I care enough to watch at 4 o'clock on a Sunday, why would I care to watch your shows? Like,
well,
I mean, make it an event.
Yeah, even more than that. If you're not going to watch it at 4 o'clock on a Sunday in Vancouver, you're certainly not going to watch it at 8 o'clock in Vancouver when you know who the winners are.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I mean, I actually planned my day. For some reason, I spaced on this. But when I was posting we always do this tonight post that, you know, says what's on tonight. And I usually do them in advance. I didn't. So I did it Sunday morning. And it just tweaked with me that this is 8 o'clock everywhere. That means it's not live. I was planning my day thinking, okay, what time do I have to be home so that I can watch it when it's on at 7 o'clock in Toronto? And I realized I don't have to be home until 8 o'clock my time, which is 11 o'clock Toronto time, which means I will already know who all the winners are. And sure enough, like I said, 6 o'clock, which is halfway through the Toronto broadcast, they send out their media release saying who all the winners are. Yeah. They don't. It's true. They don't care.
Embargoed. It wasn't even embargoed.
It wasn't, yeah.
No. Like you have
to. Spoiler alert! Geez.
You have to be a fan to watch this. You have to be a big
Absolutely.
Fan of one of the shows. And if you are a fan, you're going to watch it whenever it's on. So it shouldn't matter. Time zone shouldn't matter. Like in other words, it shouldn't matter if it's on at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in Vancouver. If you're a fan of these people, you're going to watch it. And the worst case scenario is, if you can't watch it right away, you're going to DVR it so that when you come home from whatever you're doing, you're probably not going to find out. It's not like they're going to announce it on the radio on your way home. Because no radio station is going to pick it up that quickly, if at all. So when you get home, then you can watch it because you haven't been in front of Twitter that entire time.
Somebody said that they were watching the 6 o'clock news and it spoiled it for them, which, you know, it doesn't air until 8, remember? So the 6 o'clock news is already telling you who has won and the show that you supposedly were going to watch at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Yes, there is supposed to be entertainment value in these awards show, but nobody sits through the 2 hours of an awards show just to see the little bits of entertainment. I mean, you want to see who wins. It's like watching the hockey game on PBR. I know, Anthony, you have done that. But sane people don't do that.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I could now watch the Canadian Screen Awards. I mean, I bet it's available online.
Yes.
But why would I?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care necessarily. I might watch the opening. I heard the very opening was actually quite bad, but then Andrea Martin sort of got better after that, but that's other people's opinions, of course. But I mean, I have no motivation because, yeah, I also have no motivation to watch hockey games on tape delay.
Yeah.
Do you think that they did it? Are they always nervous that they're going to go over and cut into the news?
Well, they
would cut into the news in Atlantic Canada. I mean, why would they care? I really honestly think that they think it needs to be prime time and that they don't have. They're just thinking in the old way. I mean, it used to be that way with award shows. I remember being upset with the Emmys that they did that, but that was years ago that they changed.
Yeah, my other biggest beef about the broadcast is that they added two categories. I was flipping through the sheets that they had given us, and you know, there were these two awards, and they were called Golden.
Oh, the ratings one.
Yeah, these two. So you're giving out these awards that are supposed to be saluting these shows and these actors and actresses, and then out of nowhere, they give out two awards for the highest-rated reality show and the highest-rated drama in Canada. So The Amazing Race Canada had already won for Best Reality Competition, and then they get an award for highest-rated reality program in Canada. And then, I forget,
Ricky Blue.
Ricky Blue won for highest-rated drama. So now, like Bill Brieux had said, it's like putting a hat on top of another hat. Like, it doesn't make any sense to give out, it's supposed to be a critical award, and now you're giving out an award for the highest-rated thing. Like, I don't understand where that came from. And it kind of nullifies the whole thing to me. Like, why would you do that?
They're trying to be both the People's Choice and, like, ratings.
Well,
they do have the fan pick, but I mean, we posted because they announced the Golden Screen Awards for most watched TV. They announced the nominees, so there was 5 nominees in each category. And Peter Mitchell, who is the showrunner of Murdoch Mysteries, points out, if it's for the show with the most viewers, why don't they just give it to the show with the most viewers?
Yeah, why do they have
nominees?
Shows?
Yeah,
so I'm
it's
like. I have no idea. And then somebody else is like, oh, okay, I'm not going to read this because he uses a bad word. But anyway, it's like, it's what makes people shake their head. And I've gotten a bunch of DMs. Actually, a friend of mine's just watching them now. So she is somebody who will watch it on tape delay, but she works in the industry. So she's like, well, I'm watching them and ew, they gave an award for the highest rated reality show. Gross.
Yeah.
I said, I know, drama too. Weirder, 5 nominees. There's no voting, just sorting. She's like, and technically don't we already have access to that information? Like ratings? Why, yes, we do. like nobody can understand this. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a step backwards. If it's going to be critical, then keep it critical. Don't, maybe I do need enough.
It's trying to pander to fans, but it's condescending I've had too many alcoholic beverages. Condescending patronage. I can't think of the word that I'm trying
patronizing?
To say.
Patronizing?
Yeah, it's condescendingly patronizing.
Yes.
Like, fans don't want to know what the most rated one is with nominees and a broadcast award. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's already a fan favorite because it has high ratings.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's why I don't really like the fan voting ones too, because that just means, like our polls, it just means you've galvanized a fan base, because the fan voting is the one that people watch.
Yeah, like the fan voting, that's not even people's choice. That's more like the MTV Video Awards. like best on-screen kiss.
Right.
You know? that's essentially what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Anyway, suffice to say, congratulations to the winners. Congratulations even to the nominees.
It's such a shame that we're talking more about how the awards screwed up versus the winners were actually very deserving. Yay for them.
Yeah, absolutely yay for them.
Yep. However, until they decide on a name for these things.
Oh, don't get me started. I'll get another rant going on that. Pick a nickname. Just pick one. Pick one and use it in your media releases and your marketing materials and have marketing materials. Sorry, I'm done.
Okay. It's time for the calendar.
The calendar.
Yes, the return of the calendar.
Should I call it coming up?
I don't know. I like to call
the calendar.
I think I'm going to be calling it Greg David's sacred calendar.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Okay. I think we've got a name.
Because now I get to see seeing the calendar, which none of you get to see, I get to see the workflow of Greg David.
Yeah, that's the workflow.
Yes.
That's how I keep myself organized.
He's got a workflow, which impresses me.
I get to see the productivity lines of Greg David.
It's, yes.
It's pretty impressive all in its and it's slate blues and greens and yellows and.
Okay, so then let's get to it. So we've got 2 weeks to cover. So very quickly, next Sunday, which would be March the 8th, is the return of Motive, and I'm going to be talking to Kristen Lehman later on this week about the upcoming season. So very exciting, coming to CTV. A well thought of show, critically acclaimed, and also a ratings winner for CTV. It's going to be interesting because I don't think it was on Sunday nights before.
Was it a ratings winner to the point of winning the ratings award?
No, it didn't win the ratings award.
Sorry, which show are we talking about?
Motive.
Okay.
It wasn't a Sunday night show before, was it?
It moved around a bit, but I think it landed on Wednesdays or something.
Yeah, I felt like.
I thought at one point it was on Sunday. Oh, you know
I think it was on Sundays, and
it was after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it was on Sundays, and then it got killed, and they moved it, and then they argued with me that no, we didn't move it because of the ratings. The ratings were fine, and then I showed a chart of ratings that went down.
Yeah, remember the Super Bowl 2000? Remember the Super Bowl 2014? Motive was like the big. It was the big thing coming on after that.
Right. So that's returning on the 8th, and I'm sad to say that Murdoch Mysteries is preempted next week, folks, so you're going to have to make do without that. We've got new episodes of Heartland, MasterChef Canada, 19-2, X Company, and Vikings are all coming up next week. And then the week of the 15th, we've got new episodes of Heartland and MasterChef, and Murdoch Mysteries will be back.
Oh, but
Murdoch will be back on the 16th of March, and there's only a couple more episodes after that, and then we're done the season. Anthony, I don't know if you can see the bright yellow coming up that week, but the Hockey Wives debuts.
Oh, am I looking forward to not watching that.
That'll be on W Network, and off the top of my head, I can't remember any names that kind of jump out at me, but they are the wives of NHL players.
Or former NHL players.
Right. Yes. And I'm assuming that it's going to be kind of like, a Housewives of wherever. Real Housewives of wherever.
Yeah.
Housewives of the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except we probably can't use the word NHL because it's trademark.
Yeah.
I'm just looking it up now. So, yeah, it's...
I give this thing... If this thing gets to... I can't imagine this going past two seasons max.
But I bet massive ratings when it starts.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't know. This is the kind of stuff that a lot of people love. Not me personally, but
I don't
know that it can last either.
I don't know about the Venn circle crossover between the people who watch the wives shows and hockey fans.
Yeah, like are they hoping that dudes are going to tune in and watch this?
Honestly, I mean, you guys, how many women watch hockey? A lot of us.
Yeah, but That's fine. No, I got no problem with that.
It's but, Canada. We all watch hockey. I'm not even a big hockey fan.
So in the same way, I'll respond, Diane. Do you know how many guys do not watch wives shows?
Absolutely, but W Network is not catering to the male demographic. They are catering to the females who want to watch things like women stabbing each other in the eyeballs because they're jealous of each other and stuff. I mean, this is the kind of show I absolutely hate. I'm not trying to defend it, but I think it'll get huge ratings off the bat. I don't know that it'll sustain it.
And then women will sit down with their men and say, "Oh, I recognize him because his wife is on that show I watch."
Now, see, there you go. I don't know. A lot of the women are fans of these men. I mean, when I was a much younger person, it was the thing to have a crush on a hockey player. It's just what you did.
Who was it? Name him. Tell us.
Andy
who did you have a crush on?
Andy Moog.
Go Andy Moog.
Yes. I was young and impressionable. What can I say? He has a baby face. He was very cute. I was from Edmonton. It's, yeah.
Anyway. Wow.
And plus, at the time, he was like the hero of the Stanley Cup Finals. So.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, that's my...
Anyway.
But, yeah, I think... Okay, we can make
Can
a
we
bet
move on from the calendar? Because I'm sufficiently disgusted at this point.
I think we need to make a bet.
A bet?
I'm kidding. I don't want to make a bet.
Are you kidding? Where are we going to get ratings from? Nanos?
That's true.
Oh!
Good segue.
Nano says ratings winner.
Yes. Actually, we're not quite there yet. We do have one more story before we get to that. But yeah. So a lot of people I noticed on Twitter today, there's a lot of back and forth is like, Strange Empire, is it canceled? Is it not canceled? They won't confirm. And then finally, it came out that it was canceled.
Yeah.
That was late this afternoon.
It's kind of, CBC is letting itself get scooped because we have had the news that Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays is coming back, but they won't.
Sorry, what was that? What was that news? Sorry.
Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I've never heard of it before. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. It's this obscure little show that nobody watched except me. So we've had that news for a while now. They won't confirm it. Now Strange Empire being canceled. I mean, there's a short time frame of that. I guess people started getting phone calls yesterday saying that their show was canceled. But journalists knew and CBC wouldn't confirm, but then I guess they did. But they're letting themselves get scooped a little bit. They're going to come out with an actual announcement soon about their upcoming season.
Well, they want to make sure that it appears in all time zones at the same time. So.
Yeah, apparently. So I guess they're waiting for this press release, which probably needs 5 executives to approve it and every quote to have, you know, its meaningful blather approved. So eventually we're going to know what CBC is coming up with. But unfortunately, it's true. Strange Empire is canceled. And there's a lot of people sort of wringing their garments over it. I was a fan of the show. I recapped it for the whole season. I was a big supporter. I think this makes sense. I can't kick CBC for this decision because the ratings were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. The ratings were terrible. I don't know how they were going to retool it and gain viewers with a heavily serialized show that just didn't land with people.
Right. I'm wondering if we...
Did we lose Greg?
Is Greg... Are you
I heard the weird stuff, but I thought I'd just ignore it.
Yeah. I think we lost Greg. I don't know. I'm going to try and call... I'm going to call and get... Try and get Greg back on the call here. Let's see if we can do that. I'm not 100%
sure. He's so upset that...
I know.
It's canceled.
Are you there, Greg?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Wow, so we kind of lost you there. Much like CBC Law's Strange Empire. Zing!
Good segue. I was saying you were so depressed that you had to get off the line.
Did we? We almost lost you again.
Yeah, that's. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Is somebody watching Netflix on your connection? That often happens. So we've got you back now. So any thoughts on Strange Empire being canceled?
No, I think Diana has probably already said that it wasn't unexpected, but it's still sad news. My hope is that, you know, even though this didn't work, that it won't stop CBC from going forward and trying to, you know, experiment with programming. You know, just because this one didn't work doesn't mean that something else won't work. So I hope they stick with it.
Yeah. And the difference for me between, I'm going to say this again, Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays and Intelligence, which I did get on CBC's case about canceling both of those shows, but it's because at the time it was a very different programming philosophy. These were the sort of standalone shows amid a bunch of kind of fluff, I'll say. I mean, they were going for the broader viewership. They were going for ratings. So they were coming up with things that they thought would have populist appeal. And then they had something like an Intelligence. And then they had something like a Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right now, CBC is trying some different things. They actually have a few interesting things that they're working on. They're taking more risks. It sounds like what they have in the pipeline coming out is going to be interesting and different too. So I will feel the loss of Strange Empire, but I think it's a very different CBC. I can't, like I said, I can't kick them for this decision.
Did we talk about Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays?
I don't remember if we did, but I have brought it up now. Twice.
Yeah, I don't think that we've had a podcast since they announced it was coming back.
But it's not official. They haven't actually announced it. It was Simon Hope Mail who has announced it. So, I mean, basically, it's coming back, but we don't have official confirmation, but wait for the press release, which should come out this week, I think.
Yes.
It sounds like that's what CBC was trying to tell John Doyle when they were not confirming Strange Empire's cancellation. I think they were trying to tell him, we're going to send out a press release later this week, hold your horses, and then the news came out anyway.
So. Dan, perhaps you should write a press release about how you feel about it coming back.
I've already done it, actually. I already kind of wrote a post about it. So.
Don't forget to have a space for us all at the bottom.
A space for us all, hashtag.
It'll be interesting to see. I do think Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm going to say it as many times in the podcast as I can now. I think it suffered from bad scheduling and promotion, but I wonder if that's enough. Like, it's going to have to get much better ratings than it got its first time out too, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, it's going to have to get better ratings than Strange Empire did consistently, right?
And it didn't in its first run.
So. Right. Mm.
So we talked a few weeks ago about this this strange CRTC ruling, which starting next year on an optional basis, but mandatory after that, would force anyone who owned Super Bowl rights to not do simultaneous substitution on commercials and let Canadians watch American commercials during only the Super Bowl. Not at any other time, but only the Super Bowl. And I guess, where does this come from? From Nanos Research. So a Nanos Research, which is a large polling constabulary, which in this case was hired by Bell Media.
Shocking.
I know. So this is the National Survey on Broadcasting Policy submitted to Bell Media by Nanos for March 2015. So very current. But the basic headline right at the top of the page is, only 20% of Canadians say ability to watch Super Bowl ads is more important than supporting Canadian broadcasters who have paid for the broadcast rights. I wonder how
which wasn't the question.
Yeah, I wonder how they framed that question.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. If you look further, you actually see how. And as has been pointed out, 20% of Canadians watch the Super Bowl. So does that mean everyone who watches the Super Bowl wants U.S. ads? That's not such a strong argument, Bill.
Yeah. So it wasn't of the people who watched the Super Bowl. It was of all Canadians.
Who we surveyed.
Right. Because if it was out of the people who watch the Super Bowl, how many people want to watch U.S. commercials? I'm guessing the number would be higher than 20%.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So this is a very fancy survey all about Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, and it's paving the way for basically Bell is taking the CRTC to court. And that's what this is paving the way for. They're trying to garner some public sympathy, which I'm sorry, Bill, that's just funny to me, but okay, go for it.
Yeah. Anyway, so the challenge is going to be on, and the CRTC, as much as, when we talked about this a few weeks ago, it was just like, I didn't get this when it came out. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not crying that the CRTC made this decision, but I won't really care one way or the other if they reverse it. Because this, to me, is the most meaningless, minuscule decision I've ever seen in my life. And I know that you said, Diane, repeatedly that this is the number one complaint that the CRTC gets. But that doesn't mean that it's... If the actual numbers are that 20% of people, are only 20% of the Canadian population watches the Super Bowl, then maybe we've actually diminished the amount of people who make those calls as well.
Well, and the number one complaint doesn't mean that the CRTC needs to bow to that complaint either.
Well, that's true.
you know, I kind of feel like it's a trivial
If that was the case, the CRTC would legalize marijuana.
Yeah, it's a trivial complaint. And I mean, I've always felt that. Absolutely, people who want to watch them really want to watch them. I don't know what's wrong with their internet connections, but, you know, fine, you want to watch it. But we have a broadcasting policy for a reason. And maybe the average Canadian doesn't know what that reason is, but maybe the CRTC's job to know that what that reason is.
Yeah. I don't know. Greg, you've been quiet.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, to me, it's, you know, polls like this, and the fact is that, you know, Bell Media is upset, and now they're trying to make it sound like, you know, the CRTC is that the ads aren't a big deal, and that it, to Canadians, it's more important to watch a Canadian broadcaster. You know, maybe this is a case of Twitter being the loud, you know, minority, but the majority of people that I see tweeting about this stuff say that they don't care about the Canadian broadcaster, that they just want to watch TV. Like, you know, it's the old adage where if you went up to somebody and said, what channel is CTV, they're not going to know what the number is on the dial or whatever they plug into their remote. They just know where their show is, and that they know that their show is on channel 7 or 8. But if you put a gun to their head and told and asked them what the network was, they wouldn't be able to tell you. You know, the other thing is with this whole SimSub thing is that this is a huge loss for Bell Media for advertising dollars. So, you know, they're not going to be able to charge as much as they would if they had, you know, a captive audience tuning in to only just their channel. So, you know, this kind of stuff just kind of tires me out because it's so much back and forth, and it aggravates me greatly.
And I agree with you that I actually have sympathy for Bell. I think this was a stupid decision by the CRTC. That's why I'm saying it's their job to uphold the Broadcasting Act. I mean, the average Canadian doesn't need to know what it all means, but the CRTC should. And one of the things it means is Bell is loading a shitload of money on something they paid rights for, believing that they were going to have SimSub. So I might not want SimSub, but I also don't want, I don't think it's fair that Bell paid this. And
right.
for me to defend Bell is painful, but
it ends up being, you're applying a discriminatory filter, especially based on the fact that they had pre-bought the Super Bowl for years past where this is going to take
effect. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like when your insurance comes due and you kind of shop around, like wait till their contract was up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Advertising contract was up, and then say, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then get people to bid on it. Sorry. And then let the other networks bid on it.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think anybody would have been happy about the decision anyway, but it at least would have not led to this colossal, unexpected financial loss. And I do care that one of our corporations is taking an unexpected financial loss based on something that I think is ludicrous and that goes against the broadcasting policy. I mean, they made an exception. They aren't eliminating SimSub. They're eliminating SimSub for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just find that ludicrous. And I don't see how, I mean, I kind of hope the court's on their side. I just think the way they're going about it is a little slimy, but that's the way things always go, right?
I'm completely against SimSub. I hope we get rid of it completely. But this isn't even a half-assed way. This is like a pinprick in SimSub. It doesn't do anything.
It stops some complaints, except now they're going to get other complaints in a lawsuit. So be careful what you wish for.
Oh, this is so funny. It's like it's full circle because we started off talking about how CBC is behind the times, and now here we are. Hey, the CRTC is behind the times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap up this episode by going to a new poll that has appeared on the TVA website, and Diane's very excited that it's been substantially retweeted.
Yes, including by a couple of a publisher and some other people in the literary world. And because I was an English major, I, you know, that gives me some great nerdy pride. But it's based on something that a friend of the site recommended a while ago. And I actually floated the balloon on Twitter, which is what piece of Canadian literature should... I don't think it was CBC. I don't think I said that on Twitter, but I'm using CBC in the post just because they're the only ones who would do this. So what piece of Canadian literature should be adapted into a Canadian TV show? And so we got some interesting answers on Twitter, and I realized this is never going to work as a multiple choice poll. So I just let people sort of have at it in the comments. And so we're getting some interesting comments, you know, a lot that I totally agree with and most that I think I have no idea how you would adapt that. I sort of threw out A Fine Balance by Rowhinton Mystery, which I cannot imagine them adapting well, but, you know, might as well throw it out there. It's one of my favorite books, and it happens to be Canadian, so there you go. But yeah, so if you want to have your say, look for the poll, what can, what should CBC tackle next? And I also thought that maybe Anthony might have some suggestions. Greg's put his in the comments, as have I.
I haven't put any yet, and I haven't had tons of time to think about it, although I think about it from this perspective. There has actually been, even though it's not too, too well known, there has been a pretty good history of Canadian science fiction. With writers like Spider Robinson and like that. And that, I think that would be an interesting place to tap, because with all of the science fiction that gets done in Canada, sometimes through co-pros with SIFI in the States, and with other networks in the States, it'd be interesting to tap some of the Canadian sci-fi that's been out there.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure. Greg, do you know the Bitten? Is it Kelly Armstrong, the person whose books Bitten is based on? I don't know if she's Canadian. I don't think she is.
I thought, you know what? I thought that she was.
Maybe. I mean, Murdoch Mysteries is one I didn't mention, but that's sort of the obvious one. But I thought Kelly Armstrong was.
Yeah, American. She is Canadian. Yeah, she's Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's one, but that's not sci-fi. That's fantasy. But you're right. I mean, there's really great Canadian sci-fi. I think when we asked the question on Twitter, we got some of those. I'm not as familiar with sci-fi other than sort of the big names, so I don't think I could quote them at you.
You know who I'd really like them to see some either miniseries or books made out of is some of the books that he's Canadian, even though he's living in England now, is some of the books that Cory Doctorow has done over the past 10 years.
Which
are fantastic books, and to be honest with you, they're licensed Creative Commons, so it would be pretty easy to just call up Cory Doctorow and probably get the rights and say, hey, we want to do this, and he'd probably say, sure, go ahead. Yeah. I mean, we do have a tradition here. Like I said, there's Spider Robinson, there's Guy Gavriel Kay, the Fionnuala Tapestry. I remember I read that back when I was in my late teens, early 20s, but that's one of those series that is almost, you know, rife for a kind of fantasy epic. There's stuff I'm just trying to remember. Well, I mean, let's face it, even Margaret Atwood has verged into some science fiction at times,
right,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So William Gibson as well. I mean, obviously been tapped already. I think there's some cool stuff that they could certainly do. I was just going to say there has been Canadian science fiction films, not tons of them, but you know, remember Existenz?
Yes.
Right. I mean, that was a bit trippy, admittedly. But there was Cube, there was Johnny Mnemonic, Scanners, and stuff like that. So,
I was going to say one of the most intriguing suggestions on Twitter that we got was something based on the poems of Robert Service. He's the guy who does like the Cremation of Sam McGee,
yeah,
which I can totally see that working as TV series.
I think they ever done a Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald movie?
I don't know. See, there's a lot of these things that I'm thinking of, and I'm thinking, I bet they've done that. Like, I kind of want The Last of the Crazy People by Timothy Finley, but I think it's been done as a film.
Right.
Yes.
But still, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't then do an adaptation for TV either. But there's a lot that I had to look up and think, has this already been done? But really, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah, just like
this is our dream, right?
Edmund Fitzgerald would be just like Titanic. They just need to have somebody named Rose.
It's the Canadian Titanic.
There was no band.
Gordon Lightfoot's the captain.
Playing the captain.
That would be great, though.
That would be great.
No, if anyone's playing the captain, it needs to be Gordon Pinson. I'm sorry.
Yes, it does.
Right. I thought you were going to say Victor Garber.
That could work as well. Now, you know, you need to make it a who's who, basically.
Just, right.
You know, it needs to be an epic, huge cast. We're doing an Edmund Fitzgerald movie. Who wants in? Yep, I think that's what they need to do. I think that needs to be CBC's next miniseries. I think it'd be huge, to be honest with you. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's brilliant.
Let's wrap this up. I got to work on my one pager right now.
I actually think there's probably some great historical stories that I'm sure you could find. You know, historical accounts that could be done too, even though we're not talking about fictional literature, but there's still some great Canadian stories out there that could be told.
Well, that's why, I mean, we've gotten into some passionate, I and some of our regular commenters have gotten into some passionate debates about sort of what's Canadian enough. And some of that stems from things like, I mean, The Book of Negroes is a novel, but it's based on a very little known historical document. I mean, it's not based on the document, but you know, I didn't know anything about that. You know, you hear about Canada and the Underground Railroad. Well, this was long before that, and it was kind of a dark part of our history. And yes, it's tied to the US, and yes, the book gets into England and Africa, and but it's still a piece of our history. We have a place in the world. And people objected to Strange Empire, which is actually very well researched. It's just a different part of our history again. It's not about the settlers coming from Europe and, you know, the movement from east to west. Like, they're different slices of our history, but because they don't gel with what we're taught in school or what people know of our history, some people feel like it's not Canadian enough, that it's kowtowing to the US audience, which I completely disagree. Like, I think there's a lot of our history that we don't even know about because we know sort of the basic facts that have been fed to us in school. And I think there's a lot to be uncovered that we don't know about.
Yeah. I think it's really a matter of, and this is a horrible sentiment, but it's hard to make history that's older than 50 years old sexy for television.
Yeah.
It probably just really is. I mean, as soon as people say history, a lot of people just go, ugh.
Well, and so would I, but then that's why, like, the story is so important, and that's why sometimes fiction is the easy way into that, which is why I am so impressed that the Book of Negroes got the numbers it did, because I don't think it was perfectly done by any means. It was beautifully done. I don't think it was, like, I think there's things I would change about the pacing and the what they choose to keep in of the plot versus what they chose to take out, but that's huge ratings for CBC for something that, I mean, yes, it's become a beloved book of Canadian literature, but, you know, it really was getting at history in a way that was palatable to people. And I'm so impressed by the ratings of that.
What I would love to see, and I saw, so I watched a movie on Netflix recently, which was a BBC made for TV film about the creation of Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and I forget what the title is, to be honest with you, but it was really, really cool. I would love to watch like a 2-hour made for TV film on there's probably about 5 or 6 like early CBC shows, like even a kid show or something like show me the making of like The Friendly Giant or Mr. Dress Up or something.
That would be amazing.
Alcoholism.
Every now and then, this isn't the same thing at all, but every now and then there's a like an in-depth of sort of a retrospective of The Friendly Giant or I can't remember what the other ones have been, but somebody in print will do like kind of a talk to the people who were involved at the time and that. And I just love those things because
The oral histories. Yeah.
That's the word I was trying to come up with, but I just love that kind of thing. But to see it on screen would be amazing. And you'd think that that would be fairly easy to do.
Yeah.
Littlest Hobo.
Yeah. The Beachcombers. I mean,
did you know that they had a handful of different dogs for Littlest Hobo?
I did, but
they had one that did the stunts,
I didn't know that at the time, of course.
No.
That would have ruined all the magic.
Did they also have a disco control panel?
What?
I don't know what that means. Wrong podcast.
Yeah. Damn. I'm getting all my podcasts muddled up. Anyway, if you would like to contribute an idea to what canlit should CBC tackle next, go to the tv-eh.com website and type in your suggestion, where the comments are coming fast and furious. Well, or they're coming fairly fast.
They're coming anyway.
Maybe not furious. And by the way, Lost Girl fan fiction doesn't count. Just saying.
You had to go there.
Send all of your letters to Diane Wilde.
Yeah, great.
Diane.
Yes.
Why don't you tell people where they can find you? Because I normally start with Greg, but I'm going to start with you. That way he gets to repeat the TVA stuff.
Okay, you're throwing me off now. So I help run the TVA website, which is at tv-eh.com. And that's on Twitter at tv_eh. And I'm on Twitter with all my random thoughts at DEEKAYW. And where can you be found, Greg?
I can be found in exactly the same place as you just said, at tv-eh.com and tweeting on the TVA account, which is at tv_eh. And I'm also ranting and raving on my personal account, which is at Greg_David. Anthony, how about you?
Find all the other podcasts I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. If you're interested, last week's TV ABC's podcast was with Bruce Smith of 192.
Very good. Very good, by the way.
Take a listen to that. We kind of nerded out on that season 2 first episode a little bit. But I quite enjoyed that. And next week's episode will be fellow Hamiltonian Patrick McKenna.
Cool.
So I've still yet to put that together, but we talk a little bit about Hard Rock Medical and some other stuff from his past as well. So please listen to that.
The sordid details of the Red Green Show.
We do talk Red Green. We have to talk Red Green because it was shot in Hamilton. What can I say? I mean, that's it pretty much for TVA, and that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.